This part of the Bible is a reference to the story of Jacob and Esau. Most of you know that story, where Esau was out in the field and he was hunting, and he came home and he was weary, as the Bible says. And Jacob had been home cooking, and Esau felt like he was going to die if he didn't get some food. And so Jacob sold him, or he gave him food, but in return for food, he says that you must sell me your birthright. And Esau gave that birthright to him. So this is a reference to that. Verse number 16, it says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." We don't really have the concept of birthright in our culture. It is still in other cultures, but we don't really, here in the American culture, we really don't have this concept too much of birthright. What it really, some of the things that went along with it, just so you have an idea of what Esau was giving up, is a father's estate, so to speak, would be divided up upon his death. And usually, or always, when the person who had the birthright, which was the firstborn would get twice as much as the others. So he would get, if there were two, that means that Esau would get like 66% of it, and Jacob was going to get only 33%. That would be just one thing. You could do the math at home, 2/3 times X. And so he gets 2/3, and Jacob gets 1/3. In addition to that, the authority of the father would rest on that, the one with the birthright. So whatever decisions, he would become like the head of the house. In addition, there are blessings that went along with this. And in the biblical days, when a father would pass along a blessing, it would come true. That person would be blessed, as the father said. And there was a greater blessing that would go to the one with the birthright. And this would not only affect that person's generation, but it would affect future generations as well. So there was much tied to this birthright. And there were other things that go along with it. But these are some of the main things. So there was something very, very big and very special that went and accompanied the birthright. And what happened is that Esau sold his birthright for almost nothing. He sold it for a meal. He sold it for a pot of lentils, as they say, a pot of soup, essentially. He sold it for nothing. Something that was precious, he sold for something that is temporary. And this is how the lesson is not just that Esau made a very bad decision, because we can probably all agree Esau made a bad decision. There's almost no one in here which would say, "Oh yeah, that was a good idea, Esau. Yeah, it was a great move you made there. You sold everything. You sold your inheritance. The birthright was kind of like this last will and testament, and you know, it's like, all right, this guy gets a lot and this guy doesn't get a lot, and so now he sells all of that for just a meal." Just a meal is all he sold it for. No one would say that, yeah, that was a good move, very strategic, great investment, you did a good thing, it was very wise. No one would say that, because it wasn't smart at all. And in Genesis, where the Bible talks about it, it actually says that Esau despised his birthright. It says he despised it. He showed it contempt. And here, it accuses him of being a fornicator and a profane person. We don't use that word profane too much. But profane, it means a person who is dedicated to things that aren't sacred. Dedicated to things that aren't sacred. Meaning an ungodly person, a person who wants the things, who doesn't care about the things that are godly, but cares more about the things that are ungodly. And we could bring it into our day and age and say, a person who cares more about worldly stuff than godly stuff. Dedicated, puts his life into things that are aren't spiritual. So what we have here, if we bring it into our day and age, because this is more than just a nice story, this is something, there's a lesson for us. There's something for us to think about as well. Because we could all look at him and say, what a bad move. But then are we tempted to do the same things at various times in our lives as well? Are we brought into that same decision very often throughout our lives? Because what he did was he traded what was essentially generational for something temporary, for something momentary. What he did was he traded spiritual things for something that is very fleshly. He traded something that lasted, that could be eternal, for something temporary. And I think that in our lives we're faced with these kinds of decisions all the time. To put our time and to put our energy into things that go away, or put our time and our energy and our resources into something that will last for eternity. We get to decide. We get to decide with the limited amount of time and the limited amount of money and the limited amount of effort that we have and our talents. We get to decide, where do we use all this stuff? Do we use it? Do we use it to further something that has no value, or do we use it to further something that has eternal value? We have that decision, and we have those kinds of things that happen in our life all the time. Where do we put our emphasis? Where do we put it? Because we are not only... In fact, we'll read a verse from Romans 8, just so you know that this is the way the Bible sees us, because we actually are in that same situation as Esau. The Bible tells us that we're in the same situation, essentially. In Romans 8, and it's in verses 16 and 17... It says this: the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We are co-heirs. Esau was an heir. Esau was the child that was going to inherit something from his father. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are children of God. And then sometimes, don't you wish that some phrases wouldn't be there? He says, if we indeed suffer with him, there's a stipulation that we might also be glorified with him, if we indeed suffer with him. See, part of it. If we indeed suffer with him, we are like that firstborn, co-heirs with Christ. He's not, it doesn't even say that we're getting less. It says we're co-heirs with Christ. You know that whole he gets double and I get less. It says we're co-heirs with Christ. It's an amazing thing that God has for us. We are going to be co-heirs with Christ. It's almost too hard to imagine that is the case. And most of us want all of that without the sacrifice. Most of us want all of that without having to suffer as well. Most of us want all of that. And suffer, yes, we all suffer because other people do things to us, and the bodies break down, we have all of that. But then there's just sacrifices that people make. There's just sacrifices that sometimes we have to make. Sometimes sacrifices to further the kingdom of God. And sometimes that inconveniences us. Sometimes that wearies us beyond what we would like. I don't really feel like doing it. I don't really want to do. I don't feel, maybe next week or maybe next whatever. We make all of these excuses, and basically we're saying, I'd rather please me. I'd rather please me than sacrifice a little for God. And we're faced with the same types of decision that Esau faced. I'd rather have something that pleases me in the temporary than something that might benefit the eternal. We're faced with the same decision. It just doesn't look as obvious. I'd rather do what makes me comfortable now. I'd rather do what is easy. I'd rather take the easy road rather than do something that's eternal. I'd rather keep my mouth quiet rather than say something that might be a little embarrassing to me. I'd rather not make that extra effort because I'm really tired today. And we make these kinds of decisions all the time. And yet we don't realize that Esau made those kinds of decisions too. Esau made those same. He made one big decision, which we look at and we say, "Wow, that really was a bad decision." And yet we're faced with those same kinds of decisions all the time. We're co-heirs with Christ if we're willing to suffer with Him. We're co-heirs with Him. Think about your own self. You could evaluate yourself. And this is what the Bible is there to help us to do. We are to look at the Bible as a mirror and then look at ourselves and say, where do I fall? What is it that's in me? Do you care more about the revival of God's work than you do other things? Do you care more about souls being saved than you do other things? Do you care more about your relationship with God than you do other things? This is for you to evaluate. This is for you to decide. Those all reap eternal blessing. Those all are big things that will last for eternity. Or instead of those things, we put more time into TV. Do we put more time into the internet and watching silly little things about cats with hats or whatever it is nowadays that's going around, whatever the latest viral video is? Do we rush to answer whatever little text is coming in? That bumps priority over the most important. It really kind of amazes me. Many times, you could be having discussions and then a text comes in and then all of a sudden everything has to stop because the text comes in. We put so much importance on things that don't matter. And the Bible tells us through Esau that's part of seemingly what human nature is. We put so much importance into things that don't matter. But yet when we look at Esau, we say, well, yeah, that was a foolish decision.
But yet we're tempted in many ways to make similar decisions all the time. Maybe they don't have the same consequences, but yet they're the same types of decision, and they're the same types of situations. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Moses rejected the pleasures of sin for a season so that he might gain an eternal lesson. And yeah, sometimes the things in life, they feel good for a while. They do. They do. It feels good to take a break. It feels good to rest. It feels good to get an extra hour of sleep. It feels good to be entertained a little bit. Yeah. And certainly the body needs that. Jesus got away. Jesus got away. He was tired. He was weary. He got away. But do we do it in excess? You have to decide for yourself. I can't be the judge of that. God will be the judge of that. You have to decide for yourself. We just don't want to be like Esau's. We just don't want to be like Esau's. You decide where you fall in this. God will be the ultimate judge. We just don't want to be like Esau's. Think about it. Think about it. The incredible nature of what he did is very much on things of this world. Esau sold this birthright. Eternal blessings. Blessings that will last here on this earth and continue on well beyond when he's around. Esau sold that for something that is going to be irrelevant and unmet. You know, it's not going to have any effect 8 hours later. In 8 hours, more than likely, he will be hungry again. He will be hungry again, let's say 8 hours later. Let's say 12 hours later. He's going to be hungry again. He sold this immensely valuable thing for something which will not even matter in a couple of hours. And that's the way the world's pleasures are to us too. They don't satisfy. They don't fulfill the need, the longings that are in our hearts. They don't fulfill anything for more than just a few passing moments. Sure, it might be nice to do something, go whatever it is. It doesn't mean these things are wrong. It just means where you put your time. Where is the concentration of your time? Where is the concentration of your energy, your talents? Is it for eternal things? Is it for temporary things? Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's another way of saying the same thing. Don't put all of your time into something where moth and rust corrupt, but put your time into things where moth and rust do not corrupt. Treasures that are in heaven, not just things that will go away within a couple of hours. Sometimes it looks like in Esau's case, it looks like he comes in and the world's things look like we can't go without. So Esau comes in and I'm going to die. I'm going to die without this soup. And even just the sound of it sounds so ridiculous. Die without soup. And sometimes the things of this world, I just got to have it. I just got to do this. I can't live without it. It's on your mind and you're focused on it. And even when you try and get away from it, it comes back. And you start inventing ways of making it godly. Oh yeah, God wants me to have it. You know, I think I should have it. It will be better if I only had. Then I could do so much more. And your mind starts doing all this stuff. I've got to have it. It's like Esau. If I don't get it, I'm going to die. And that is the way often worldly things come to us. You gotta have this. You should have this. You need this. It's not that you just have to or you want to have it. You need this.
And these are the way that, these are the tricks that the devil plays on us. And God calls these kinds of ways, he actually calls it fornication. That's a strong word, almost offensive to us, right?
That's really offensive. God calls it that because he says you're basically trading one love for another. You're basically trading one love for another. Profane, devoted to worldly things rather than to godly things. What are we devoted to? What our devotion is shown in where we give our time, where we give our talents, where we give our money, where we give our stuff.
What are you devoted to when it comes down to? Look at
your time. Slice it up and say, how much time goes to this? How much time goes to that? How much time? How much money goes to this? How much money goes to that? You know we're not about money here in this church, but nonetheless, it's a good indicator
of where your devotion is, where your heart is. Now in the end, verse 17 tells us that Esau sought for repentance. He didn't find it. Well, thank God we're not in that age. Thank God we're not in that age.
Thank God that we come to him and he will forgive. The blood of Jesus is stronger than anything that we could do. The blood of Jesus covers anything. The blood of Jesus will wash away.
There is no rejection for us. There was for Esau. He lived in the old covenant. He didn't live in the new covenant.
But for us, it's a different story. We run to God and he forgives us. He takes us back. We run to God. We ask him for help. He's there. We run to God and he helps us in our weaknesses. The Bible tells us that it's not like the time of Esau.
He's a God of restoration. He actually says that he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten.
He's a God of restoration. We're not in that same age, thank God.
He restores. He can add to. He can take you from wherever you are and bring you back into his purposes. He can correct any wrongs.
All you need to do is tell him. All you need to do is talk to him. All you need to do is ask him forgiveness. All you need to do is, when you examine yourself, make sure you're honest with yourself and then correct the things that might not be right.
That's what we need to do, because God will restore. God will bless. God will take care. He is a loving Father.
The blood of Jesus covers all of our wrongs. We're not in that place where Esau was. And thank God that we're not.
Because God has a plan for us, and he wants us in that plan. He wants us to have the eternal blessings rather than just the temporary.
He will very often give us temporary blessings, but the key is, where is our heart? Is our heart tied to those temporary things, or is our heart tied to the eternal? Do we care? Sometimes it's almost like, sometimes it really is like you, when God blesses you with those temporary things, you almost don't even care that they're there or not, because I'm not tied to them. I'll use them for God's glory, but I'm not so tied to them. I'm not so tied to them. My heart is for eternal things. Your hearts, you examine your heart for eternal
things rather than temporary things. The question is, are we like Esau? Are we like Esau? Because God has something more for us. God has something eternal for us. We strive for the eternal things. We leave the temporary behind and we go for the eternal. We make our investment. We put all of our energies into something that will last forever. You put something into you put all of your efforts into something that will return eternal benefits rather than temporary benefits. It's better to know now than it is to know at the judgment seat. It's better to know on this side of the age rather than the other side of the age. It's better to examine yourself, as Paul says, I judge myself. I don't need other people to judge me, because I judge myself.
I look at myself. I will ruthlessly look at everything I do.
And I'll judge myself. Rather than have to wait until one day when God judges me. The time to look at ourselves is now. The time to correct ourselves is now. The time to do is now. So that we will reap in eternity the blessings that God has for us. His name be praised.